This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
He is the great I am. His first friend was Abraham. Surely said to Abraham, I am that I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Now I found out that Jack Black has one just like me.
It's similar, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is the mayor of the airwaves. No, no, I'm not the mayor of the airwaves. That's right. You know, when I went on WCNO, Jonathan down there says, well, here, you're no longer mayor of the airwaves. Jesus is. And at first I was taken aback, kind of like, oh, that's offensive. After 30 years, and I realized, oh, you're looking for this. He's already looking for this. I saw that. Where is that bell? Where's the bell? Remember, where's the beef? Where's the bell?
Okay.
We're talking about Bible history, biblical history.
Welcome to all of our friends today that are listening to another cup of friendship here.
This is called the friendship bell because it keeps him from shooting me.
Okay, Rhett, so far in our conversations, we've talked a lot about how we can really read the Bible and put ourselves in the audience of the Bible audience and understand it better rather than trying to take our 21st century mindset and living in North America and try to understand some of the things that seem to be a little bit obscure in the biblical text. We have talked about the Bible being a library of 66 books. It has different kinds of literature. There's biography, there's code law, there's poetry, there's wisdom literature, there's letters to friends.
What about all this talk about Enoch lately?
There's
we'll do that some other day.
Okay. And
no Enoch
okay,
today.
No Enoch today. What other literature, biography? Anyway, prophetic works.
Yes.
So we read the Bible depending on the type of literature. It's Lamentations, poetry, wisdom literature. We've discussed how the Bible is a complete unit, that the Old Testament and New Testament are very connected, like a hand in glove. You really can't understand the events like the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 unless you understand what happened at the first Pentecost at the base of Mount Sinai in Numbers chapter 19. Exodus 19. So the Bible has this connection between old and new, between the Hebrew scriptures and the Christian scriptures. When Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so shall I be lifted up. We wonder, what the heck is he talking about? But when we go to Numbers 21, we see that scene where the people were grumbling against Moses. Snakes came into the camp. They started injecting people with poison. The people came to Moses and said, hey, we're sorry. We said all those nasty things about you. Can you talk to the man and see if he can do something? And so God told Moses to make a snake out of bronze, put it on a pole. Anyone who looked with faith that God could heal them.
And that was a foreshadowing of?
Of Jesus on the cross.
Right.
So there's this connection.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
It's totally amazing. So let's talk today about context. Reading the words of the Bible. Just because I read the words doesn't necessarily mean I understand them. And remember, the Bible is not written to me or you, Rhett, but it's written for me. We're not with Moses standing at the bottom of Mount Sinai. We're not with Jesus in the upper room. We're not sitting on the hillside at the Mount of Beatitudes. So we're somewhat disconnected from the actual essence of the message because we're so far out of the culture of that time.
Sure.
So let's talk a little bit about how culture affects maybe even you and I and our relationships with people here in our time. I'll give you an example. When I married my wife, Laura Ueda,
one of the best decisions you ever made.
It was, but I realized I entered another world. She's a fifth generation Japanese growing up in Hawaii.
Culture.
And so when I first Laura and I married, and I walked into her mom and dad's house with an armful of groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my shoes on because
disrespect, right?
Her father looked at me and gave me this stink eye look, and then he looked at my feet, and suddenly I realized what he was saying.
Mm.
Okay, because
was he saying it in English or Japanese?
He said it with his look.
Oh, that's
okay.
Yeah,
because in Japanese homes in Hawaii, you don't wear your shoes inside the house.
Sign of disrespect.
Well, it's just their custom to keep the floors clean. And outside of Ron and Jean's house in Honolulu, there's about sometimes 10 or 12 pairs of shoes and slippers right outside the door. You have to be careful you don't trip over them.
Which is kind of a nice little picture. When you go to somebody's house and you see all the little shoes of the children, the adults, it says something about connections.
It does. I'll give you another example. For a number of years, since the mid-80s, I have worked with the Miskito culture, which is an indigenous Central American group that live along both sides of the Coca River. Half of them live in Honduras, the other half live in Nicaragua. They speak their own language. Their culture is very different than our culture. And for many years, I worked with the guy who became my brother, Truman Cunningham. He and I... and others started the school project in 1985-86. It lasted for 37 years. Truman and I were walking down a trail on our way to one of our communities, came to a place where the trail split, and I looked at Truman with the look of asking him which trail, and he moves his lips to the left. And we walked
to the left.
Well,
that means to the left.
In Miskito culture, you point with your lips, okay? So these may not make sense to someone who's not familiar with Japanese Hawaiian culture or with Miskito culture.
Mm. I could get confusing if they had a lisp.
You know, in Hawaii, I'm called a haole.
Haole.
H-A-O-L-E. Haole. Haole boy, okay?
Haole boy.
Haole is a word that means without breath. And the name
was... Why would they want to call you without breath?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question.
We're going to take that bell away from you. You know?
And when the missionaries came to Hawaii, they did not greet each other as the Hawaiian people do, okay? Hawaiian people, when you greet, you actually put your head and breathe close to each other, almost touch your foreheads, and you breathe on one another.
Really?
This. And the haoles stuck out their hands and shook their hand, so they were without breath. Miskito culture.
Oh, look at that.
When I'm greeting a friend
without
in the Miskito culture, especially one that's my age or older, the custom is...
For people living that long?
That's one for you, Red. there are people... what you do in Miskito culture is you lean over, you touch cheeks, and then you... breathe in. You're smelling that person, okay? So these are different ways of greeting that are very different than the way us North Americans.
They give three kisses in France, right?
And in many places in Latin America, you give the beso plástica.
What's that?
The beso plástica is a plastic kiss. You kind of touch cheeks and you go with your lips like
air, that. Air kiss.
An air kiss, okay? Yeah. So,
we've come a long way because I remember growing up in upstate New York, we never even hugged. I never got a hug from an adult, even.
Well, words and gestures that do not make sense to us in our North American 21st century culture often to the biblical people make all kinds of sense. You know, God gives us His word to understand it, and He wants us to have more than just, I think, blind faith. He really wants us to understand the nuances of our relationship with Him. And when it comes to the Bible, he gives us many examples of who he is, but he does it within the page, in those pages.
Child of burden, he knows you're hurting, but Jesus loves you and he'd never let you go. All you gotta do is reach out and take hold. Child of worry, in such a hurry, but Jesus promised his peace would fill your soul. All you gotta do is reach out and take hold. Be not deceived, he'd never leave your side. Be of good cheer, wipe that tear from your eye. Child, take his hand. Jesus understands. Let him lead you where his healing waters flow. All you gotta do is reach out. Reach out and take hold. Be not deceived, he'd never leave your side. Be of good cheer, wipe that tear from your eyes. Child of burden, he knows you're hurting. Yes, Jesus loves you, and he'd never let you go. All you gotta do is reach out and take hold. All you gotta do is reach out and take hold. Child of He knows your hurt.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
For the pain that's left you.